Well, this morning it is a pleasure to have Chuck and Wilma Lormas with us, and they are missionaries that our church here at New Life Church has supported for years. Ever since I arrived, we were already supporting them there. So would you give them a nice New Life Church welcome? And I've asked them in just a very few minutes to share just a little bit about what they're doing now in their focus in missions here in the United States and around the world.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for having us this morning and for having us back. It is a joy to be here. And the last time I was here, it's been a while, but I was, my first husband and I, we served in the country of Madagascar. We had the privilege of leading the Bible school and teaching and doing church planning. That was our main emphasis. And it was our privilege to serve there for 9 years. We saw God do amazing things. People were saved, healed, delivered, called into the ministry, and it was an incredible time of ministry. Unfortunately, during our third term, my first husband made poor choices, and we were asked to come home from the field. And I remember at that time just being a very broken woman. I wasn't sure what was going to happen to my family, to the call of God, to all that God had put in our heart. And we ended up coming home from the field, and my first husband ended up continuing in those poor choices, and we ended up divorcing. If anyone is thinking of divorcing, I just want to say it only changes one set of problems for another. So seek godly counsel, read the Word of God, and let Him direct you. So I ended up having to resign as a missionary at that time and got my kids through middle school and high school as a single mom. And then once they got launched back into college, then I was able to get reappointed as a missionary, and you guys came alongside me once again and picked me up, and I'm so grateful for that. Amen. I just want to thank the Lord for churches like you and partners like you. And so then I was serving in working with One Hope, traveling all over the place, and then God transitioned me to the U.S., where I was helping young people as a U.S. missionary, helping them see who they are in Christ and how they fit into the Great Commission. And it was during that time that the Lord brought this guy into my life, and I gained a couple hundred pounds.
Yeah, I was a pastor for 36 years and heavily involved in missions, but from the pastoral side of things. My first wife and I were married for 41 years, and a few years ago, back in 2014, we were on a mission trip in Huancayo, Peru, where I was speaking at a pastor's conference, among other things. And on the trip from Lima to Huancayo, we had to drive up to the top of the Andes and then halfway down the other side. And my first wife and one of the other women on our team became ill. We thought it was altitude sickness. We said, we'll get you some medication. You stay at the hotel first night of the meetings, and the rest of us will go. We'll have the meetings. We'll come home to the hotel. You'll be fine in the morning. And that was a great plan. Next morning, the other lady on the team was fine. My first wife woke up very dizzy, said, could you help me get from the bed to the bathroom in our hotel room? And she got up. She took about three steps, had a massive heart attack, and died in my arms. And that kind of changed the course of my life. And so when God brought Wilma and I together about 15 months later, we had to figure out, what in the world are we doing? So Wilma was a career missionary. I was a career pastor. Something had to give. I wasn't going to let her travel all over the world while I'm in one place at the same time, you know. So I resigned from the pastoral ministry. I applied to be a missionary, and now we're both nationally appointed missionaries. And what we do, we are missions cultivators. We work with churches that are struggling in any area of missions. Doesn't matter the size of the church. It can be. We've worked with churches, five people. We've worked with churches of over 1,000. Doesn't matter to us. If they're wanting to build up their missions ministry in the body of Christ, that's what we do. And so we go into churches, we work with a pastor, we work with the congregation, with their leadership, and we help them establish different areas of missions and increase what they're doing, whether it's increasing their giving, whether it's increasing their local outreach, international outreach, whatever it might be, anything to do with missions. That's what we do. And so we're thrilled to be here today with you. And hopefully we get a chance to visit with some of you after the service. Stop by the table and visit with us. And praise God. God bless you.
That's great. Aren't they just an incredible testimony of God's grace? And even through the struggles of life, they have remained faithful. They have remained focused. And they are still giving and living and life-giving people. Thank you for being gems and jewels in the kingdom of God. Yes, thank you so much. They have a table that is in the lobby. If you want to drop by and talk to them more about what they're doing, that would just be awesome. All right?
I love my mom because she supports me and she does a lot, and I really appreciate that.
I love my mom because she takes care of me.
She takes care of me.
My favorite thing about my mom is that she's understanding and that she does the things that other people want.
What I like about my mom is that she is creative.
I'd say the favorite thing about my mom is that she's really patient and can help me when I'm stuck with something and help me get through it, and is understanding even when I'm kind of stuck up about it.
What I love about my mom is she's just super nice, and she's just always there if I need someone to talk to, and she just takes really good care of me and helps me with school stuff that I need help with.
I'm thankful that my mom gave me a house to live in and that she is my mom.
Mommy's nice. You play video games with her?
She makes the best food.
My mom is the best.
So happy Mother's Day. Yes. Go ahead. If your mom's near you, go ahead and give her a hug, that side squeeze. None of us will ever reject that from a kid or a spouse or just someone neighbor, but just make sure you know them, okay? All right. Happy Mother's Day. I know that even that can evoke so many emotions for us. Maybe some of you have recently lost your mom, and it's just that painful moment of realizing that they're gone. Maybe you don't have a great relationship with your mom, and that evokes some pain as well. All of us come to this day looking at that from a very different perspective. Maybe mom wasn't there or wasn't loving, or maybe she was wonderful. Maybe you're a new mom today, and this is the first Mother's Day, and there's all that excitement. Or maybe you're totally overwhelmed with, they never told me it was going to be like this. I think most new moms feel that way. Maybe you're wanting to be a mom, longing to be a mom, and there's that ache inside you. Or maybe in a different lifetime, you may have aborted a child, and there's that pain, that constant pain that brings up when we think of Mother's Day. God knows every mom that's in here. God knows what that name mom evokes in every one of us. And you know what? He still loves us. He still wants a relationship with every one of us, no matter where we come from, no matter what our bank status is, no matter what our history is, no matter which side of the tracks we grow up on. God loves us, and he wants a relationship with us. Now, that is good news, no matter how you're looking at Mother's Day. There is hope for each one of us. You know, when a new baby's born, we look and say, one of the first things is, who do they look like? Do they look like mom? Do they look like dad? Well, I can say that one of my kids looked exactly like their dad, and one of them looked like me. It was kind of weird how that happens, but they both had parts of us in them, but one of them looked like one like the other. We all kind of want to know who we come from, where we're at. There's such a big emphasis now on DNA testing. I mean, that's really become a hype. You know, you've got Ancestry.com, you've got 23andMe, you've got MyHeritage, Living DNA. There's all kinds of DNA tests. There's even on Walmart.com, you can actually get a DNA testing. Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny too. It shows a deep curiosity of who we are, a longing to find out if there's someone important in my lineage, or maybe there's something special that makes me special. All of us want to kind of stand out from the crowd, don't we? We all want to be something important. Well, if you look at my family tree, it's more like a bush. Okay, it isn't pretty. My parents divorced when I was a kid. We had stepmoms, stepdads, half-brothers, half-sisters, you know, stepsisters, you name it, it was a bush. And now that I have stepsons, the bush has gotten even bigger. I mean, it just kind of keeps growing out of control. It's a crazy wild life. But that's okay. There was this, I want to tell you a story about a little girl. There was a 14-year-old girl whose home was filled with physical and verbal abuse. And this little girl grew up in this environment filled with anger, without hope, because it's the only thing she knew. And so she began to grow up into this teenager that was angry and volatile and didn't like people, and people were guilty until proven innocent. But someone invited this little girl to church. And through that invitation, this little girl came and her life was radically changed. I was that 14-year-old girl, and I'm so thankful for the love of God, that but God that interrupted my life and changed me from someone who was angry and didn't trust anyone to someone who can learn to love and learn to have purpose and destiny. That's what God wants to do. He wants to change each one of us. I'm amazed at the power of God to change a life. I am amazed of a Savior who loves me in spite of my flaws, in spite of my challenges, in spite of what we could go on and on with the in spite of. But God does love us, each and every one of us. I'm grateful for a Savior who not only saved my soul, but he loved me enough not to leave me where I was. He gave me purpose. He gave me destiny. In Psalm 71, 14 through 18, it says, "As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds." And now this is appropriate. "Even when I am old and gray," and you may be thinking she isn't gray, I'm chemically dependent, okay? "Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come." You see, that's the God that I serve. That's the God that interrupted my life and changed me and gave me hope and gave me purpose. There is hope in Christ. There is freedom in Christ. There is forgiveness in Christ. There is healing in Christ. And there is change in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Today, wherever you find yourself, I'm here to tell you there's hope. Christ's work in me was a process. It wasn't something that happened overnight. You know, some people get saved and delivered, boom, they're just radically changed. For me, mine was just like plodding up a hill. Slowly but surely, God stripped things away from my life. I had to relearn a lot of things. I read the Word of God. I watched people. There were people in church that became role models to me, and they didn't even know that they were role models to me. There was this older couple named the Stewarts. Well, I thought they were older at the time. But they were an older couple, and they had four children. And I would just sit in church as a young new believer watching them. And they actually looked like they liked each other. The mom and dad, he would put his arm around her, and they would interact with their kids in such a healthy way that I was in shock. That was totally new to me. You don't know who might be watching you right now. You don't know who might be taking notes mentally as they watch you. You could be someone's answer. You could be someone's hope as they watch. I told that couple many years after with how they impacted my life. They never knew how much I was watching them and how much I learned from them. But that didn't mean that everything was hunky-dory. When I had my first daughter, I struggled with being a mom, to be very honest with you. It was the hardest thing I'd ever done. I mean, I was called to ministry. I knew that. I was a woman determined. And then this little 9-pound, 11-ounce daughter shows up, and man, poo, rocked my world. And she was colicky. That, if any of you have had colicky, yeah, that is no picnic, let me tell you. And that little girl did not sleep through the night, no matter what I did, until 6 weeks before my second daughter was born. Yes, I remember saying, "Jesus, you've got to make her sleep through the night, because I can't take two of them being not sleeping through the night." And God, in his mercy, heard my prayers. And 6 weeks before my second daughter was born, she began sleeping through the night. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. But then that second little bundle arrived, and she was 11 pounds, 7 ounces. She was, yeah, that's exactly what I said, damn it. And she came along, and she had colic too. And I'm like, oh, dear Jesus, didn't I learn from the first one? You know, whatever I was supposed to learn. So I remember, here I was, I have a six-week-old and one that was just about to turn two. And they're both crying. And I have been sleep-deprived now for almost 2 years. And I remember at that moment, I wanted to take either one of them, but the littler one would have been easier, and throw them through the window. I'm not kidding. I mean, honestly, that's what was going inside of me. It was just so real at the moment and so scary. I scared myself that that thought actually went through my mind. And I thought, oh, God, you've got to help me, because I wanted to repeat what I had known. Physical abuse is what I knew. But God gives us options. God changes who we are. God changes what we know if we will allow him. Well, I put that six-week-old baby in her crib, crying, screaming. I put my toddler in our bedroom and shut the doors, and I turned up worship music, and I just cried. I was just like, God, you've got to help me here. And all of a sudden, I hear my little six-week-old not crying anymore. So I go in and open the door, and she's just sitting there. You know how they've cried themselves so bad that she's just sitting there going, and I picked her up and started bawling. And I just said, you know what? You're still alive, and we made it through this. But, you know, I'm just here to tell you that nurturing was not normal for me. I had to learn it. I had to begin to apply the passages of Scripture. I began to allow God to change what was my norm. God can change us. God can make us into something new. I had been a Christian for 16 years by this time. You think I would have had it all down, but I didn't. I still don't have it all down. God still is working in me. But the thing that is so beautiful is God changed my spiritual DNA. God changed my spiritual DNA that day I encountered him. And the day, every day that I continue to say, God, you work in my life today. You make a difference in my life. We have a choice to make, each one of us. Will I choose my way or will I choose God's way? Will I choose my way or God's way? God's path versus my own. His will versus my will. Quit making excuses for ourselves. You know, it's so easy to say, well, that's the way I grew up. I don't know how many times I've heard that. Or I'm just German and strong-willed. Or, you know what I'm saying? We make all of these excuses to choose not to act on the incredible supernatural transaction God has given us. He promises us that if we will give ourselves to him, if we will choose to take on his new nature, we can be different. We can be different. So I became more determined than ever to allow the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God has already prepared good works for you to do. God has already prepared before we were even born. He has purpose and destiny for everyone in this room. God has not left us powerless. Mother, father, teenager, young adult, old person, young person, it doesn't matter. Jesus Christ has given us everything we need to make us new and to change us. He has given everything we need for a do-over. It doesn't matter what you've done in life. Yes, there are consequences. I am not unaware of that. The fact is, I am a divorced woman, no matter how many years get between me, and that brings baggage with it. But God is still able to redeem. God is still able to take our ugly and make it into something beautiful. But the big question is, if, will we give it to him? Will we lay it at the foot of the cross? When we come to Christ and surrender to him, he can make all things new. Yes, thank God, I'm with you on that. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." He's given us everything we need through the word of God. And Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You know, walking through a divorce gave me a lot of opportunity to practice the fruit of the Spirit. There were times, I'm not going to lie, I just wanted to go kill him. But I knew then my kids would have an incarcerated mother and a father that wasn't at his full status at that moment in life. And I just had to, I had to say, God, I mean, I'm not kidding. I was angry. I wanted to go and make him hurt because he hurt us. He upset our entire world, our entire everything. But I had choices to make all along the way, all along the way. Will I choose to be forgiving? Will I choose to honor him because he is the children of my father, or the father of my children? Will I choose not to badmouth him, even with my family? Will I choose to be a woman of integrity with my words? If we choose, God will enable us. God will enable us. And you know, just because I fast forward how many years now, that doesn't mean there's still aren't opportunities on all kinds of levels. I still have to choose the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I still have to choose to be patient, kind, loving, gentle, forbearing, forgiving, all of those things. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Are we willing to allow him to change us? Are we willing to allow him to change us? That depends on us, doesn't it? That's my choice. Am I going to lean into what God has given me? Or am I going to choose to go on my own? You know, I remember there were times, in the past 15 years, where God would tell me to do something that was totally against what I wanted to do. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I learned enough to know that if God is asking me, then it is for my good and his glory, even when it totally looks contrary to that. Rick Joyner said that true freedom often looks like bondage at first, and bondage often looks like freedom at first. So when we say yes to Jesus, it can impact so many areas of our life. Yes to Jesus. It can impact your family. It will impact your life. It will impact your coworkers. And should the Lord tarry, it will impact generations to come. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, even those that aren't born yet, generations to come. So who is on the other side of your yes this morning? Who's on the other side of your yes? As a single mom for 15 years, I had two daughters that were watching my every move, and they loved when they caught me doing something wrong. Oh, boy, they loved that. Or they caught me when I just wasn't quite showing the fruit of the Spirit. They were quick to let me know, but I knew I had to. I had two daughters hanging in the balance that were watching my every move. My yes to Jesus not only impacted me, but it impacted them, and it now impacts my grandchildren. Because people are watching you. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 17 says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." Thank God for that. "Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here." Are you still hanging on to your old way of life, mother, father, single person? It doesn't matter who you are, what status you're at, young, old. Are you still hanging on to your old way of life, making excuses for it? Are you still hanging on to pain that has identified you and you're kind of, it's become your identity? Well, I'm just bitter because blah, 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 and I'm proud of it. Or I'm angry and I'm going to stay that way. It's not going to serve you any good or the people coming behind you. I recently heard a teaching from a Christian counselor, and this is what she said. Pain that is not transformed is transmitted. Pain that is not transformed is transmitted. There's another way of saying it. If you don't heal from what hurts you, you will bleed on people who didn't cut you. Jesus can bring that healing. Anger, bitterness, resentment, quick-tempered, emotional abuse, physical abuse, swearing, sexual indiscretions, flirting, cheating, lying, stealing, all of those things. God has given us the power to overcome. He has given us that power, but we can't do it ourselves. I know forgiveness is an impossibility on my own, but when I lean into His grace and His principles and His word, and I choose to take my will, partnering with His grace, man, He can change an entire life. He can change an entire trajectory of sinful patterns from life's behalf. Will we allow God to transform those things in our lives that need transforming? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These are all natural byproducts of Jesus coming into our lives. That's what He can do for our lives. Our relationship with Daddy God is not based on performance. I'm so thankful for that, because there's always someone who's better than me. Always. He affirmed Jesus before Jesus. God the Father affirmed Jesus before He ever did any miracles. This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Wouldn't you love to hear God the Father say that about you this morning? He is saying that about you this morning. He loves you. He loves us. He wants you to say yes to Him. And those areas maybe that you've guarded tightly to your chest, and you've given Him maybe 75%, but that 25% is yours, and you're hanging on to it. But if you choose to give it to Him, what might He do? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The enemy is always there lying to us, whispering in your ear, oh, it's too late for you. You are a loser. You're never going to amount to anything. That's not true. God is here. He wants to touch you this morning. If we will begin to live outside of the enemy's lies, live outside the lies that we're telling ourselves, and lean into the truths that God has given us in His word. Who is on the other side of your yes this morning? Will you bow your heads this morning? Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to hearts as only you can. Lord, that you would rivet truths that you have spoken to them and rivet them down into their soul that they can't shake. I pray, God, that you would speak to each person this morning. I would ask with your heads bowed, is there anyone here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? But after hearing the message this morning, you say, you know what, I don't want my old DNA. I want what Jesus has for me. I want a do-over. Is there anyone here that would say that's me this morning? Would you raise your hand and make eye contact with me? Is there anyone here this morning that would say, I want to have Jesus in my life? Anybody? Yes. I see that. Anyone else? Anyone else? You'd raise your hand and say, I want a do-over this morning. I want Jesus to touch my life. Anyone else? Okay. All right, we're just going to pray corporately together and just pray. If you would just repeat after me, dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to change my old DNA and give me your DNA. Forgive me. I need you, and I want to build my life around you and make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.